Isaiah chapter 40. You know, we often hear it said, where are the revivals of the past? Or why isn't the church experiencing revival? Well, I think sometimes our perspective on revival is not exactly the way that it should be. It should be that we realize that revival, as far as a corporate revival in the church, everybody, it all starts with you as an individual. It starts with your own personal revival. And once you focus on being revived yourself personally, then it's going to spill over on others. And if we all just focus on ourselves, Lord, revive me. Lord, touch me. Lord, do a work in me individually. Then it'll spread. It'll have an impact upon every one of us, all throughout the church, if we individually accept the responsibility. I need revival. If nobody else receives what they need from the Lord, I'm determined that I'm going to receive from the Lord. Amen. So we're going to talk about that this morning. Personal preparation. How you can prepare your own heart, your own life for a move of God and for a revival. Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. All flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So we are asking the Lord, we want to see your glory revealed in our lives. We want to see your mighty power manifested in all of our lives. Amen. Now the book of Isaiah has 66 chapters, and it can be divided in two different sections. The first section, chapter 1 through chapter 39. The second section of Isaiah is 27 chapters. It's chapter 40 through 66. So there's the book of Isaiah really mirrors all of the Bible. 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament. And the first 39 chapters of Isaiah, Isaiah is dealing with the judgment to come upon the nation of Israel and Judah for all of their sin. The first half of the first section through chapter 39 is dealing with the condemnation. God confronts them for their sin and pronounces judgment upon them for their sin. A lot of verses in those first chapters that deal with it. Isaiah 24 and verse 6, therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. But then there's a complete change in chapter 40. It's like the New Testament. The Old Testament is a reminder to us of the law of God and the judgment of God and a nation of Israel that continually falls into their sin. They keep backsliding again and again and again. And then finally they face the judgment for all of their waywardness as they are taken into captivity, into Babylon. And so in chapter 39, the last few verses of chapter 39, it talks about that very thing that happens to them. Your sons that issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Verse 6, it says, behold, the days come that all that is in thy house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And so those first chapters deal with the judgment to come and the condemnation for their failure and their sin. But the second half or the second section here, beginning with chapter 40 of Isaiah, deals with comfort. 40 times it's mentioned in those last chapters, 40 through 66. The word comfort is mentioned. Comfort and hope and blessing and grace that is to come. So Isaiah not only brought the message of judgment and condemnation to them, but he looked 70 years down the road and saw the blessing of God, the forgiveness, the grace of God that was going to come to them and after the exile, after all that they experienced in the judgment of God. Aren't you grateful that even though God judges our failures and our sins, and he is always, even before the judgment falls in your life, God has already made a way for your forgiveness. He's already made a way for you to have hope and deliverance and salvation. God knows the beginning from the end. And while you are not able to see your way out of your present situation, you may feel like that you're in a spiritual wilderness, but God is able to bring you out of that. And that's what the message of Isaiah is. Yes, God is not going to wink at your failure and your sins. He's going to bring judgment upon those areas of your life that are not pleasing to the Lord. But God also prepares a way of hope. He prepares an answer. And he sends to the children of Israel a message of comfort. Comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. That phrase is dealing with the fact that if someone had a mortgage on their property, that mortgage would be posted publicly for everyone to see, that it was to bring shame. You owe this big debt. But once the debt was paid, then the person that held the mortgage would bring their copy and they would nail it over the top of the previous mortgage and publicly state that this mortgage has been paid in full. That's what it's talking about there. For she hath received the Lord's hand double, the double forgiveness, the double answer to the sinfulness and the awfulness of the debt that you owed before the Lord. And so God is a God that brings comfort. Amen. And that's the message of Isaiah dealing with the children of Israel, that even though you're going to Babylon, even though you're paying the price for your sins, God has a plan for your redemption. He has a plan for you to come out of it and to be restored and to be forgiven. Praise God. God is the God of all comfort. Amen. The Apostle Paul speaks about the comfort that is provided. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And so the Spirit of God, that comforter, comes and provides hope even in the midst of our need, in the midst of our despair. Amen. And so hope, there's always hope. There's hope for revival, even in a time of real desperation, even in an hour when it seems like this is a land, we are a nation really deserving of the judgments of God. So much wickedness, so much evil, so much in the face of God, against God. We're a nation that deserves the judgment of God, but He's still a God of hope. He's still a God of comfort. He's still a God that can come and can help us in our times of need. Verse 3, it says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. You see, we are in a spiritual wilderness. We're in a dry and a barren land right now. And there needs to be a voice that is crying out, God can bring deliverance. God can bring revival in the midst of a generation that is dry and barren, a barren wilderness that we're in right now in our nation, in desperate need of a move of God. We make a big mistake if we put our confidence in the political answers or the social answers that might be going on in our nation right now. Let me tell you, folks, we are in desperate need of God coming and bringing hope and deliverance. It doesn't come from any man-made source. It only comes from a move of God, a work of God in our behalf. That's the need of the hour that we're in right now. A wilderness is an unlikely place for a visitation from God. It's an unlikely place, but yet it's a place that Isaiah says that God's glory can be revealed even in a wilderness place. Amen. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. It was a common practice for kings and dignitaries that were traveling to any location for them to send out a delegation ahead of them. And that army that would go before them would prepare the way so that the king could have a way to come and would clear the roadway and make a highway. And that's exactly what the prophet is talking about. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. If the glory of the Lord is to be revealed, if revival is to come to your heart and my heart individually, there has to be personal preparation for that to happen. There has to be the willingness to build a highway, to make a way for the glory of the Lord to be revealed in our lives. Each of us have responsibility to make a highway, to build a highway. Isaiah 35 and 8 called it a highway of holiness. A highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. It is to be a way that we prepare for God to move in all of our lives. You know, that's what John the Baptist came to do. He came as a forerunner, a preparer of the way of the Lord. What was the message of John the Baptist? John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness, and he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom is coming. The Messiah is coming. Jesus is coming. I'm not him. I'm not the Messiah, but I'm the forerunner. I'm the one that has been sent before to prepare the way of the Lord. And the way that was to be, the way to prepare the way was John's message of repentance. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. So whenever those words of Isaiah 40 that we read to you today from our text, This was also a prophetic message concerning John the Baptist and the message of repentance that he preached to prepare the way of the Lord. It's also a reminder to you and I that we need to prepare the way for God to come. We need to prepare the way for God to move in our lives, for there to be a move of the Spirit of God, a move and a visitation of the King to come, for the glory of the Lord to be revealed in our lives. It requires that we make preparation for that to happen. Amen. We need to make preparation. This week can be a week that you can focus on your own heart, on your own spiritual life. Don't look around at others. Don't look at the church as a whole. Don't say, well, I wish they would do that, or they would do better, or they would get right with God. No, make sure that the focus is not on others, but upon you and upon me, that we look closely at our own spiritual life and we determine, Lord, this week I'm going to prepare the way of the Lord. I'm going to build a highway. I'm going to make a way. I'm going to clear the way for God to be able to move in my life. Amen. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert. This is a spiritual desert. We are living in a dry, spiritual, barren land right now, all around us. But it's ripe for revival, because God says we're going to prepare a way in the middle of a wilderness, and that so that the King can come, so that the glory of the Lord can be revealed. Amen. We need the Lord to come to our own dry places. And we're going to have to prepare the way of the Lord. How do we do that? Well, there's four things that he mentions here in this text. Every valley shall be exalted. Number two, every mountain and every hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight. That's number three. Number four, and the rough places plain. When we follow through with the words of Isaiah, then it says the glory of the Lord will be revealed. Praise God. So what is he talking about? What kind of preparations can you make, can I make, if we're going to get a visitation from the King in your spiritual dry place, in your spiritual wilderness? What can we do? Well, the kings would send forth a delegation, and they would go out, and first of all, they would make every valley or every low place, they would raise it up, raise it up. For those of you that, most of us I know, we drive up and down 192 and we're all praying, Lord, please help them to get the high places brought low and the low places high. Help them, Lord, to get it fixed, because they're going to tear our cars all to pieces with the highs and lows of 192. And I just heard recently that they're projecting that by April, they're going to have 192 done. Well, I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when it happens. Maybe they will get it done. But just as sure as they get that done, then they say then they're going to start working on 25. So we've just got roads being worked on in every direction. But maybe one of these days it's going to be beautiful and smooth riding all over Laurel County. We can certainly hope and pray for that. But all the roads, the king to visit, they would send out the delegation, and their responsibility was to make all the valleys exalted, to raise up all of the low places. What kind of a spiritual message can be there? Every low place being lifted up, every low place being filled in, all the shallow areas of your life, all the driftings in your life, all the spiritual complacency in your life, all the time that's wasted on things that really don't have much eternal impact or value in your life, but instead focusing on the Lord, lifting up every low place in your life and making Christ preeminent in all of the areas of your life. You know, remember the prodigal son and He was very abrupt about what he was going to do. He was very matter of fact with his father. Give to me my inheritance. Give to me all that's coming to me. The Bible says that he gave him his inheritance. And then he went and dishonored his father. He went into a far country and he wasted all of his living in riotous living. And it was a very determined thing that he did. And finally, when he wound up in the pig pen, then he had an awakening. And he realized where he was at and how far they had gone. Now, I know that there's probably not a lot of prodigals here that are that abrupt about our movements and our changes. But instead, we just kind of move a few steps away from God. We just kind of gradually take a step and then another step and another step in a direction away from the Father's house. And before we know it, we are further away from the Father's house than we realized. We've allowed things to come into our lives and to cause us to slip away from God and from the things of God. And we haven't made a big, bold move like the prodigal did and run to the far country. But we've taken some steps in the direction away from the Father's house. And we've allowed things into our lives that are not pleasing to the Lord. And as a result of that, we have found ourselves in a barren, dry, spiritual wilderness. And we are further away from God than we could ever have imagined that we could get ourselves in. And it's time to realize, Lord, I've stepped away. I've made some steps away from your plan and your will for my life. And I want to get back into fellowship, back into that place of closeness and intimacy with the Lord. Help me to get back to that place of close fellowship with the Lord. Amen. Every valley must be exalted. Amen. So we may not be as vocal as the prodigal was, but we've made some small little steps. One by one by one, we've moved further and further away from the Father's house, and we need to recognize that. So allow everything that is brought low, raise it back up, build it back up. Every valley must be exalted. And then he says, every mountain and hill shall be made low. Everything that is high, all the pride, all the self-exaltation, all those things that are built up in our life and that cause us to think too highly of ourselves. The Apostle Paul warned us not to think too highly of ourselves, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. 2 Corinthians 10 and 9, we're to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. He mentions mountains, every mountain and every hill. A mountain is something that is huge. It's massive. It's big in our lives. We've allowed things to get built up in our life that are so big and so overwhelming that we think, I could never, ever get over this or never, ever get victory over this. Circumstances, problems, bitterness, all different things that get built up, big mountains in your life. And it all needs to be brought down. All the pride, all the self-sufficiency, all the things in our life, it all needs to be brought down. It must come down if you're to experience the visitation of the glory of the Lord in your life. So every high thing has to be brought down. Every mountain, every hill must be brought down. And God can move in your life if you'll humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and allow the Lord to work in your life and to bring down all of that mountain of pride, that mountain of self-sufficiency. Bring it down so that you will be able to make a highway of holiness that God can come and visits your life. The third thing that he mentions here is that the crooked would be made straight. It's dealing with things in our life that are kind of done, you know, under the cloak of secrecy. Things that are deceitful, things that are dishonest, secrets of our heart. Even pretending, it's easy to do that, isn't it? It's easy to pretend you're spiritual. It's easy to pretend you can sing the songs, you can raise your hands, you can go through the motions of spiritual activity. But all the time you have allowed secret things to come into your life and into your heart. All of those things, the crooked, must be made straight. That's what those forerunners would do. They would go out and they would raise up the low places in the highway. They would tear down the high places. They were building a highway. They would make the crooked straight. They would straighten it all out, all those areas that need to be straightened out. And it may very well be before you can experience a move of God in your life, that there's some areas that are crooked, things that are deceitful, things that are secret things. No one knows about the imaginations of your heart. Nobody knows about your thoughts and those things going on in your life. But God wants to reveal them to you so that you can straighten up the crooked areas of your life. Amen. In the last year or so, five very high-profile ministries in the Dallas, Texas area that it just seemed like one after another exposing some of the things that were going on in ministries that were, I'm talking about churches and ministries that were huge, thousands and thousands of people, but people in leadership that were involved in things that were dishonoring to God and involving in activities that displeased the Lord. And somehow the Lord just revealed those things and the secrets. And you see, if we don't allow the Lord to deal with us personally and to straighten up the crooked areas of our life personally, then it may be that he will expose it in some other way. And even if he does not in this life, you are going to stand before God one day, and all of those areas, those crooked areas of your life, are going to be exposed in the brightness and the glory of the judgment of God. So we stand before the Lord here today asking the Lord, Lord, build a highway of holiness. Build a highway and prepare the way so that God can move in my life personally. Straighten up all the crooked, raise up the low places, tear down the high places, and cause, Lord, a highway built that the glory of the Lord can be revealed. Amen. You can clean your life in the presence of the Lord. Something about the presence of God, the word of God that convicts you of those areas of your life. Don't turn away from the voice of the Lord. Don't turn off the voice of conviction. When the Spirit of God is talking to you about those areas of your life that are not pleasing to him, don't just shrug them off. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and allow the Lord to straighten up the crooked areas of your life and build a highway whereby God can move in your life. And then number four, and the rough places be made plain. Removing anything out of the roadway, out of the highway, even the little things, even the small distractions, any of those things have to be removed. Even the secrets, even the hatred, even the unforgiveness. You know, you can't expect real revival if you have aught against your brother or sister. You just cannot. You can't expect that God is going to move if you have ill will and ill feelings and you have aught against anyone. Those things have to be dealt with. They have to be taken care of in your life. If you're going to build a highway where God can move in your life. Amen. Matthew chapter 5. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. Stop right there. What do? You leave your gift at the altar and you go your way and you're first reconciled with your brother. Then you can come and offer your gift. Amen. You can't be reconciled to God until you are reconciled with your brother or your sister. Amen. Those things have to be straightened out in your life. The rough places have to be made plain. You have to remove every obstacle, every hindrance, everything in your life that might distract from your being able to build a highway of holiness whereby the glory of the Lord can be revealed in your life. Amen. And that's the promise of Isaiah 40 and verse number 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Amen. So you and I personally, individually, can make some personal preparations today and over these next few days. We can't just expect Brother Jeremiah to come in here and carry the revival into the meeting. I know that the Lord will anoint him and will use him in those services. Full expectation that God will move in his ministry and God will use him in those services next week. But we're not going to see the glory of the Lord revealed until we make some preparation. Amen. That's you and me individually. All of us individually focus our attention on our own heart, on our own ways, our own lives, our own spiritual wilderness and barren desert. Let me tell you, there is hope. Isaiah prophesied in the midst of all of that judgment and all of the terrible calamity of Babylon and all that was happening to them. He was saying, we're going to prepare a way in the wilderness. Build a highway in the wilderness through the midst of all of the darkness and all the rebellion and all the awfulness of our land and our country and all that's going on. God can still pour his Holy Spirit out upon us. Amen. God can still move for you and for all of us as a church group and for all of our friends and loved ones that need to be saved. I don't want to be the obstacle that stops that from happening. I don't want to be the hindrance that keeps that from happening. I want there to be a flowing, moving work of the Holy Ghost among us here in our services over this next week. And it can happen. It can happen if we'll bring up all the low places, if we'll tear down all the high places, if we'll make the crooked way straighten out the crooked ways and make the rough places plain, level it all out and clear out all the hindrances in our walk with the Lord, then we can experience a move of God. Amen. John the Baptist came preparing the way for Jesus the Messiah to come. His message was repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he called the nation of Israel to repentance. So all of us are called of God to build a highway. And it comes from cleansing and purifying and coming before God and being honest before God and clearing out the highway, making the pathway straight so that God can move in our lives and then also move among us here corporately as a body. God can work and send revival. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I remember a young man many years ago who was praying and seeking the Lord. He wanted to be filled with the Spirit. He wanted to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. He prayed. He was a good young man. And he prayed and he prayed night after night after night after night. He was seeking the Lord. But it wasn't until one area, and he testified about it later, there was that one little area of his life that he had kind of tucked back and reserved that one little area. And he was not willing to surrender that area of his life to the Lord. But when he finally got so desperate that he was even willing to say, okay, God, even that area of my life, I'm going to surrender that to you. And when he did, he was immediately baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Whenever he surrendered his heart completely to the Lord, even every hidden area of our life, the Lord is calling us to come clean before him in repentance. Amen. To cleanse ourselves from everything that might be displeasing, so that we can clear the highway for the glory of the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you for the wonderful promise, Lord, that you can send revival even a barren, barren wilderness. You can pour your spirit out, Lord, upon us, even though we are faced with so many dark challenges in this generation. I do know, Lord, that you can help us individually, personally, to prepare our hearts for a move of God. And may we do that this week, right here in this congregation, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, everybody?